Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck, live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central tomorrow. That's 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central time. Follow us on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Well, we keep bringing the heat here at Locked On Bulls. Obviously, we're building the brand in 2018. We're taking over Bulls coverage in 2018. We've got David Kaplan from ESPN 1000, the hardest working person in Chicago media here to do it was a wonderful, phenomenal interview. We're going to get right to that. But Matt, I wanted to say, what's up? How are you? And it seems like you had a little bit of a frustrating time to figure out how to purchase those new city jerseys that are coming out tonight.
Yeah. So I found out that tonight was the night that they're debuting them. We got Bulls Lakers on deck, and the Bulls are going to be wearing their version of the new Nike City Edition jerseys tonight. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, I've been meaning to go online and buy one of these. I heard that they were available for pre-order. I don't know if they're still pre-order or if they're just available for purchase now. So I went all over, you know, Bulls Fan Shop, Fanatics, all these places, and I couldn't find them. Like, they're selling t-shirts, they're selling the City Edition, like, color schemes for, like, hoodies and stuff. But I was like, why can I not get these jerseys yet? So I just put a tweet out with a picture of them being like, okay, the Bulls are wearing these new jerseys tonight, and somehow they aren't available for purchase. Like, what the hell's up with that? And I immediately got a bunch of responses from other Bulls fans being like, yeah, I know, I'm having the same problem. I can't buy these jerseys. So apparently they were available limited time pre-order. And so I called the Madhouse shop that's located at the United Center in that new atrium they put up last season. And the person on the phone said, yeah, it was a pre-order, but pre-order's over and we don't know when they will be available for regular purchase. And I was like, so basically you're giving me no help and telling me that I can't do pre-order anymore and I can't just buy one and we don't know when I will be able to buy one. That's basically what you're telling me. And she was like, this poor woman who I was bugging incessantly, she was like, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. But so it was actually the official Chicago Bulls Twitter feed replied to me and a few of the other fans who were discussing this on Twitter this morning to be like, hey, actually, great news, guys. We just got confirmation. They arrived. They'll be at the Madhouse store for sale today leading into the game tonight, and you can also purchase if you call the Madhouse shop today sometime after 3 p.m. So they have a limited inventory in this first crop that they're getting in, and so obviously depending on what size you wear, there's going to be fighting over how many are available with this limited edition or with this limited inventory that they have. But so good news is, if you're on your way to Bulls Lakers tonight, go to the Madhouse shop. You can get yourself one of these sick City Edition Bulls jerseys. You know, the ones we're talking about with the Chicago cursive across the front, the Chicago flag stars down the side. I don't know about you, Jordan. I love them. I think they're gorgeous. And I can't wait to buy one and wear it every day this summer. And I saw somebody with a funny tweet, like, over under number of people wearing these Chicago City Edition jerseys at like Lala and other Chicago concerts this summer. It's going to be like 50-50 people wearing these jerseys and not wearing these jerseys.
Yeah, something about the Nike Swingman jerseys, it seems like it's really difficult to find it outside like the main players, outside the Steph Currys, the Kevin Durants, the LeBron Jameses. These Swingman jerseys are really difficult to find, especially like online. So if you're searching online and you're having a hard time to find what jersey you need in your size, I would recommend, like Matt said, to call the Madhouse official store at the United Center to ask them about more information. I know there was some questions from people that listen to our show outside the United States on how they can get a Markkanen jersey or a Levine jersey that's a Nike Swingman, because honestly they sell some replica jerseys and they're just flat out ugly. So don't buy those. Spend the extra money to get the Nike Swingman jerseys because you'll appreciate it. I know when we gave away that Markkanen jersey before and I sent it over to our winner, that they're pretty sweet. And like just looking at them in person, they're nice. The material is awesome. So spend a little extra money and get yourself a Nike Swingman jersey. Call the Chicago Bulls. Shout out to the Chicago Bulls Twitter too, to getting back and being active on Twitter and helping people out when they need it the most. One thing before we do get to the interview with David Kaplan, Matt, since the Lakers are in town, I saw this from Robin Lopez. Darnell Mayberry from The Athletic tweeted this out, and this is why I have grown to absolutely love Robin Lopez, and I just wanted to share this with people that didn't see it on Twitter or don't use Twitter at all. So Robin was asked about his brother coming to town and what they do and sort of just a quick little answer, and I thought it was the funniest thing ever. So he asked him, what's the visit like when your brother comes to town? And Robin Lopez says, yesterday, my older brother, his family came over, and Brooke eventually got in whenever the Lakers landed. We ordered some food. We played Ticket to Ride. And by the way, if you've never played Ticket to Ride, it's a board game, and it's awesome. It's a great drinking game, too, if you're into that type of thing. And he said, we also had Xbox out. He said, Ticket to Ride is a fantastic game. We played the India map. I won. In case you were wondering, I complete all my routes. I picked up extra routes. And then he said, do you guys play against each other in NBA 2K? He goes, no. I play as Ryan Anderson a lot. Yeah, that's kind of a wishful feeling for me, pulling up and draining a lot of threes, you know, doing everything on the court except driving left. And then he also finished up with, what's Brooke's biggest weakness? And he goes, just general all-around basketball IQ, just general all-around IQ in general. So if you haven't loved Robin Lopez by now, this should put you over the edge.
He has been my favorite Bulls player, I mean, since he came to town. Obviously, you know, Jimmy had the star power and the charm and the charisma and all that, but Robin Lopez, obviously great teammate, and I think because of that, he's staying. I know people are talking about, like, what if anything, is his trade value? Might the Bulls be shopping him? I think that they value his leadership so highly that they're going to keep him around, at least to finish this season. But also, you know, the other stuff, like the fighting with mascots when the Bulls are on the road, and the weird, funny, like nerdy comic book hobbies and things like that. And also, I don't know if you've watched all of his material with that little kid, Henry, like, oh, you know, like, yes, the Bulls, like, late night snacks with Henry bits. Robin is so adorably cute interacting with, like, oh, you're like, you realize Robin Lopez might be 7'1" or 7'2" and have a giant caveman beard, but he is truly just like a kid at heart, and I love that about him.
Yeah, I was laughing too because I saw the part of the Bulls series with the Run With Us series of videos. There was one with him when they went to Orlando. They went to Disney World for a day, and it was Quincy Pondexter and Robin Lopez and some little kids that they had brought along with them to just give him a great day at Walt Disney World. And like, it's funny because Robin Lopez, the way just he was acting at Disney World is so funny. It's like, all right, that alone tells you everything you need to know about Robin Lopez's personality and how great of a guy he is. And he's a huge dude, but he's got a childlike heart. And that's why I love him too. And I would not be mad at all if he was still around with the Bulls at the end of the year.
Absolutely not. Before we get to our interview with Cap, just another quick reminder to our Locked On Bulls listeners. Our entry is still open. If you want to win tickets to go to that Bulls-Timberwolves game with Jordan and myself, February 9th at the United Center, it's Jimmy Buckets, it's Taj, it's Tibbs, and it's your Chicago Bulls. Instructions are all over our social media pages, whether it's Facebook and Twitter. Essentially, all you have to do is leave us a review on iTunes and a rating on iTunes, take a screenshot of that, and email it to us at lockedonbulls@gmail.com. And we will enter you into our raffle to win tickets for you and a guest to join me and Jordan for that Bulls-Wolves game on February 9th. We're not sure. We haven't decided yet how much longer we're going to keep this entry open. Certainly, we'll say at least through this weekend. We've had plenty of entries already. Thank you for everyone who's participating. We appreciate the reviews. And we're looking forward to it.
All right, without further ado, we want to kick off your Friday and make this the best hour of your Friday. So we're going to get to our interview with David Kaplan of ESPN 1000 and NBC Sports Chicago. So here's our interview with the Catman.
Wow! Does anybody know how to post videos to Facebook?
Right now, we welcome two Locked On Bulls for the first time. One of my favorites in the Chicago sports media biz. You either love him or you love to hate him. And you know him very well. He's David Kaplan. He's the host of the Cap and Co show on ESPN 1000 weekdays, 9 to noon. Also the host of Sports Talk Chicago on NBC Sports Chicago on your television. Cap, what's going on, buddy? Great to talk to you.
Matt Jordan, what's going on, boys? Great to be on your show.
First of all, have to give you credit. We got to talk about Lauri Markkanen, and you were one of the first people to say, even before the Bulls traded up to that number 7 pick on draft night last year, that you wanted the Bulls to take this kid. Nobody was really paying a whole lot of attention because he wasn't in the Bulls' wheelhouse of where they'd be drafting, but you said, this is one of the best kids in this draft, and you got absolutely railed for it by Bulls fans everywhere. You get to gloat now because everybody in Chicago is obsessed with this kid halfway through his rookie season. Obviously, we all knew he could shoot. What has been your favorite pleasant surprise as far as the other aspects of Markkanen's game thus far?
And I appreciate you saying that. It's funny because I said this like in April, and I had watched him play at Arizona and liked him a lot. And just for background, I scouted in the NBA for 4 years, so I felt like I have a decent eye. I can at least identify someone who I think could play. But then Kevin O'Neill, who was a head coach of the Raptors and has – scouted and coached in the NBA and in college for a long time, Kevin called me. He said, dude, what do you think of Markkanen? I said, I really, really like him. He said, you shouldn't like him. You should love him. He's the best player in the draft. And I said, better than Markel Fultz. He said, I just had Fultz's game. I went to practice. Lazy. We're very talented, very lazy. I said, what about Lonzo Ball? He couldn't stand Lonzo Ball. He said, great passer. Can't shoot, and he had charted every shot of Lonzo Ball last year for a consulting job he had with one of the NBA teams. And in that report that he did, Lonzo Ball had made six mid-range jump shots the entire season last year. Everything else was either a dunk, a layup, or an occasional three. He could have no mid-range game. He said, I'm telling you, Lauri Markkanen, he loved Jason Tatum. He loved Lauri Markkanen. Those were his two favorite players in the draft. And I think he's been proven right. What I love about Markkanen that I didn't expect as quickly at age 20 is he's way more physical, way tougher than I probably gave him credit for. I remember saying when they drafted him, yeah, I love him. He can make shots, and he's just got to get stronger and tougher so he can rebound. He had a 17-rebound game the other night. He really goes at you hard. He's physical. He's really engaged in the game. And the people that thought, first of all, when they drafted him, if Garland Pax had stepped to the podium and said, we'd like to announce we just cured cancer, 99.9% of the Bulls fans would have gone, no shot, these guys stink, no way, bad cure, just because it's Garland Pax. So when they step up and go, this is the guy we wanted, we love Lauri Markkanen, everyone went, yeah, he's Nico Mirotic 2.0. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Nico is a okay player. What Nico reminds me of is a 6'10" guy who has really good range. He could shoot the ball. He's inconsistent. He doesn't defend. He's a mediocre passer. He's a mediocre rebounder. And he's not physical. Not a great ball handler. But when he gets on a heater, it's like standing at the craps table in Vegas. And you're like, I can't lose. Keep rolling. And you're on this heater. And then when the dice come up 7, you're like, uh-oh, now I'm in trouble. That's Nico. For me, Markkanen is totally different. Markkanen is, he'll rebound, he'll pass, he'll block a couple shots, he'll bang with you down low, and he'll step out to 25 feet and bang shots on you.
Well, Cap, you will appreciate then Matt and I's Twitter feed on Locked On Bulls. I went ahead and decided to just take a look at Twitter in the summer and go back and find all the people that were saying that Lauri Markkanen was the worst decision to take at number 7 and all these people that were flat out wrong about Markkanen. And it's fun to do it when Markkanen's having
phenomenal games. But the other aspect to Markkanen's game that I want to talk about, just outside of the physical skill set, we talked to Casey Johnson earlier this week, and he wrote a phenomenal piece talking about his interview with Dirk Nowitzki and his interview with Henrik Detman, one of the coaches over in Europe with Lauri Markkanen, and had incredible stories about Markkanen's drive, his willingness to work, and the leadership skills that he was showing just, you know, as a teenager. So the other facet of it too is, for the longest time, this Bulls locker room has had a mess of culture problems. It's been something that John Paxson and Gar Forman has said over and over again that they want to change. Do you feel like Markkanen has the skills and has the personality to be sort of somebody who can grow into a leader alongside guys like who have stepped up, like Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine, to completely and totally change around this culture that they have that was so bad for so long?
I think that's a really good question. I think he is a guy that can be a piece, you know, to put on the shoulders of a 20-year-old kid who played 1 year at Arizona, is not from this country, this is not dropping him into Portland, Minneapolis, Milwaukee. This is dropping him into, it's Chicago, it's Philly, it's Boston, it's New York. Those are the four rabid sports fan bases where people take this stuff seriously. And to drop him in at age 20 and then go, yeah, we need you to be the leader. We need you to change the culture in this iconic franchise that Michael Jordan made famous. That's a lot to put on him. Can he be a piece of it? Absolutely. And 5 years from now, when he's 25 and he's gotten bigger and stronger and he's even better, yeah, he could definitely be one of those guys. But I think when you look back on the draft night trade, go back on Twitter and just search what people were saying about the trade the night of the draft. Again, Gar and Pax could have come out and said, hey, we just traded Jimmy Butler and we got back Klay Thompson, Steph Curry, and Draymond Green. And there would have been a segment of Bulls fans that gone, yeah, that's a horrible trade. Those guys are probably washed up because Gar and Pax made the trade. That's just a fact. It is what it is. And I think those guys are all right with it. Look, they've made their share of mistakes. And I think they would admit it to you. Some of their draft picks has been horrendous. But on draft night 2017, if these guys stay healthy, we're going to look back and go, okay, Minnesota's at a different place in their development. They needed a star. But when Jimmy Butler's body is broken down and he's 36 years old, you're going to have Lauri Markkanen at like 26. You're going to have Zach LaVine at like 26. Chris Dunn at 27. Hopefully you got a super high pick this year. That's why I root for them to play well but lose. And then a really good pick next year, $50 million of cap space, and go out and get somebody. And that's on management. They got to go out and find a way to get somebody, and I think they will. So if you can pull that off, all of a sudden, the three guys from this year, the draft pick in 18, a draft pick in 19, sign a free agent, I just gave in Nwaba, who I really like, and they got to get credit for getting him as well. That's seven or eight pieces. Now, I'm not telling you that's Golden State. I'm not telling you that's a championship team, but that's a playoff contending team now. That's a team that should be going into the playoffs and going, is there a free agent out there we can add to all of this a year or two down the road and end up saying, hey, we can make a run in the East. They have done a really good job at restarting things, picking a lane. Now they got to execute the rest of the way. It's on them.
We're talking with the one and only David Kaplan here on Locked On Bulls. You can follow Cap on Twitter at the Cap Man. Cap, you mentioned what you'd like to see the Bulls do as far as competing but losing, trying to get themselves a higher lottery pick in 2018. You were talking about Nico earlier with all of those Bulls fans making that silly, asinine comparison between Nico and Markkanen on draft night last year. So specifically with Nico, there's been a lot of talk, obviously, as we get closer to that trade deadline coming up in a couple of weeks. What do you think realistically you want to see the Bulls front office get for Nico if they do execute that trade? I know it sounds like they're determined to get a first round draft pick for him. we'll see. Maybe, you know, the latest we've heard is that it, the most likely scenario for that to happen is the Bulls being involved in a three-team trade. Do you think, I mean, the trade that they executed at the deadline last year, speaking of their bad moves, the campaign trade is one of the most egregious moves that this front office has made in recent memory. What would you like to see them accomplish when it comes to making a move with Nico at or before the deadline?
Well, there's a lot to digest and to chew on there. I would love to see them get a first-round pick. They're not going to get a high first-round pick. If they could find a way to get pick number 27, 26, you never know. I mean, Jimmy Butler was, you know, late 20s to 30. There's guys out there, Draymond Green. I mean, there are players you can find if you do a really good job scouting. I don't know what they can get, because if they had a first-round pick offer already, the trade would already be made. And it's funny, as someone who did that for a living, you would get assigned. I mean, I was just a lowly scout. I'd get assigned, hey, go see the Milwaukee Bucks play the Seattle Supersonics. And I'd walk in and go, okay, I'm watching. They asked me to watch Dale Ellis, or they asked me to watch Paul Presti, or whoever it was back in the day. And so I would watch this guy play. And if we already had a preconceived notion or idea based on multiple years of data on a player, then if he went out that night and scored 42 points on 18 of 23 shooting, yes, I'd write a really flattering, flowery scouting report and say, hey, he was magnificent tonight, did a good job going to his right, really did a wonderful job on pick and pop, he did this, he did that. But it still would not change the deep narrative that what we thought he was, because you've got 3 years or more of data on who Nico Mirotić is. And so when he got, you know, that 3-4-5 week run to start this year after coming back from the broken cheekbone, everyone's like, wow, maybe they can get a really high pick now. Nico's shooting the ball really well. I'm telling you, scouts don't look at it that way. That's fans and media talking that way. They don't go, boy, if Nico goes out tonight and gets 30 points, maybe that price goes up. No. Now, if you tell me he plays that way for an entire season, okay, maybe he's developed, he's gotten stronger, gotten healthier, something's happened. But to play out-of-your-mind basketball for 6 weeks, no scout in his right mind changes his opinion and goes, yeah, you know what, I'm all in, I'll give you a really good pick. It just doesn't work that way. So can they get a first-round pick? Maybe. Maybe a late first round. I think the Bulls are holding out hope they can get that, A. B, that maybe there's an injury out there. Maybe something goes on where they look at a team and go, whoa, we didn't think that team was going to be as good as they are. That team needs a perimeter shooter. You know, the other thing is Robin Lopez. You know, can you get a first-round pick? Look, big guys are undervalued now. They're like running backs in the NFL. People think, I didn't get any big guy because the game is freewheeling and it's up and down and we're shooting threes. You still need quality pieces inside to rebound, especially in the playoffs, to bang, to be able to defend inside. You've got to get those. Is Robin Lopez a good guy? By all accounts, he's a magnificent teammate. By all accounts, he's a magnificent veteran leader in your locker room. And there's a price for that in Chicago as you try to develop a new culture. So he's not a great player. He's never going to be confused with a great player. But if you could move those two pieces and walk away with a first and 2 seconds for the two of them, and maybe you add whatever, other than the three guys you got from Minnesota and Nawab, and he's obviously not an untouchable, if I could keep those four, I'll trade anybody else on the roster, 100%.
So just to follow up real quick about Nico, we had Danny Parkins on last week, and Matt and Danny got into a little bit of a debate about Nico's value and whether or not if the Bulls just need to unload him at the trade deadline, or if they should be super set on getting a pick between anywhere between 18 and 30 in the round. And Danny Parkins said that he believes Nico Mirotic will be better this season. He'll take this season of Nico Mirotic and it'll be better than anything that the Bulls get between 18 and 30. He said he's willing to hedge his bets on that. So he said that Bulls fans should think in terms of when this, if this Nico trade does go down, that most likely the Bulls are going to lose the trade, you know, in foresight. But looking back maybe 2-3 years now from here in 2020, when the Bulls are competing, that might not be the case. If you had to pick between whether or not to keep Nico around, maybe the value isn't quite what the Bulls want and isn't right there. Maybe moving him in the summer at a place or keeping him around in general. What are your ultimate thoughts on whether or not if the Bulls do move him and if fans are mad when they do move him and don't get exactly what they want back for him, what would you tell fans at that point?
Yeah, I would vehemently disagree with Danny Parkins. Look, if you trade Nico, and let's assume you trade him for pick 29, let's just pick that random pick, pick number 29, you take whatever contract back you have to take to make the money work, and the player is inconsequential because you're not going to get somebody that you feel like is a piece going forward. So let's assume those, that's how it goes down. Nico Mirotic, in my opinion, is never going to be a key cog on a championship contending team. So I'll take the lottery ticket that is pick 29 and going, I don't know, maybe I find Jimmy Butler. I'm not looking to win next year either, so I have time to develop this guy. Maybe that's Draymond Green. Or maybe he's some stiff that can't play. I'm okay with that because I don't believe that Nico Mirotic is a top seven guy on a championship contending team. And if I'm proven wrong, then that's the price of doing business. You roll the dice and you make trades and you make signings and you do it with the best intentions, with the most data. Now, again, I look at this Bulls team and they're not going to win anything this year, obviously. They're not going to win anything next year, obviously. But if I tell you that out of this season, at the end of the year, you learn that Fred Hoiberg actually can coach, you give him the right style of player, he actually gets these guys to buy in and play hard. That's progress. He also has fixed the culture in there because they got rid of a lot of guys who didn't need to be here. That's progress. If I told you, Chris Dunn's not an all-star, but he's a rotation piece at guard, that's progress. If I told you Lauri Markkanen is maybe your best player, that is a big statement. And then I told you Zach LaVine, not only is his knee healthy, huge question mark, now he looks great, but he's also a piece on a championship contending team going forward. And by the way, those three guys are all under the age of 25. I'm okay if that's what I learned at the end of the year, and on top of it, I was able to get my pick, hopefully top four, top five, maybe get lucky in the lottery and be higher than that. And I got pick 29, and I got salary cap flexibility going forward, and I've reset myself on the luxury tax over the last few years, so I'm in a good place. I think it's a win-win season all the way around.
All right, Cap, we're talking with David Kaplan here. Follow him on Twitter, at TheCapMan. We can stress ourselves out talking about Bulls trade deadline moves all day if we wanted to, but Jordan and I got some more fun, lighthearted questions that we want to get your take on. Obviously, we got Bulls-Lakers. We got Bulls-Lakers at the UC tonight. I'm not sure if you saw your good buddy Mark Carmen, who you used to do a lot of work with back when back in the days of the Cap and Haw show. May it rest in peace. Yep. Loved that show. He snapped a quick picture of Judd Bushler, who is actually an assistant coach with the Lakers these days, which I didn't know until I saw that picture that Carmen put up on Twitter, which made me wonder, of either of the Bulls' three-peat teams, the 90s dynasties, and there are two stipulations here. You can't say Steve Kerr, because everybody loves Stevie, and you can't say Kukoc, because he was a perennial sixth man of the year candidate. Favorite bench role player on either, and you can pick either first or second three-peat team. So we're talking guys like Hodges, Hodges and Scott Williams from the first three-peat, Bushler, Scott Burrell, Jason Caffey, those kind of guys. Favorite Bulls bench role player from the 90s dynasty?
That's easy for me. He's deceased now, so may he rest in peace. Jack Haley, because we brought in a guy who was a lunatic in Dennis Rodman. And guess what? For the 3 years Dennis Rodman was here, Dennis Rodman played his you-know-what off. I mean, he was a warrior out there. And the Bulls won 3 championships. Jack Haley played a very underrated role because Dennis loved him, in keeping that guy focused and keeping that guy engaged and out of trouble. So for me, the late Jack Haley, no doubt about it.
Like it. Good answer.
So I want to touch on something that I know Matt is going to be absolutely rolling his eyes on right now, but I have to bring it up because I've had sort of a love-hate relationship with this person and this family, and I know you've interviewed them in the past. So with the Lakers coming to town, Lonzo Ball is not going to play tonight. He's still nursing an injury, but I want to get your take on LeVar Ball. So I know that you've interviewed LeVar Ball before, and it was a phenomenal interview, and I was hoping he was going to tell you to stay in your lane, and I know your producers said the same thing as well. But give me your take on the development of LeVar Ball over this year and whether or not your views have changed at all on him and his idea of trying to bring this sort of this new professional, semi-professional league as another option to NCAA basketball for kids who don't want to go to college. Because personally, I think it's a great idea. Now, do I think that he can pull it off? That's a huge uphill battle with a lot of money that needs to be involved and a lot of the right people surrounded him. But I think it's a great idea. What have you seen, or what has your views been of LeVar Ball? And has it changed at all since first couple times that you've heard him on the airwaves or saying ridiculous things about him beating MJ? What was your overall take about LeVar Ball?
So I was amused by LeVar Ball. I thought it was funny stuff and, you know, kind of a lunatic, but he amused me. And Danny Zetterman, our great executive producer at ESPN 1000, he would say, okay, here comes Flipper. He's about to flip. You can call it flip. You can call it, you know, evolving, being enlightened. I now think LeVar Ball is a complete and total jackass. I do.
Thank you, Cap.
when you come out and tell me that it's not a big deal that your kid stole from 3, not one, not two, 3 high-end stores in Shanghai when you're representing the University of California at Los Angeles and you steal thousands of dollars of stuff. We're not talking about, and I'm not defending stealing a candy bar, but it wasn't like he took a candy bar. This guy, that's major crime. And then the president of the United States, love him or hate him, got involved to make sure your son didn't end up spending years in a Chinese prison. Because for people that don't realize it, when you're in China, their laws, not ours. We may go, that's a little extreme, but guess what? It's not our country. And so he didn't want to give credit where credit was due. He said, it's not a big deal. It's my son. Not a big deal that he stole. When he said that, I can promise you, my kid stole. My kid would not have played all year. I don't care what the university's punishment would have been. I would have gone up to Steve Alford and the AD, Dan Guerrero, and I would have said, hey, UCLA may run their basketball program. I am the father of my son. He is out for the year. He'll go to practice. He'll go to class. But I am making sure that he understands what he did, how horrific it was. He's representing our country, and that's what happens? Representing my name and my family? No chance. And this idiot comes out and says, not a big deal. Punishment's too severe. When he did that, told me there's no discipline in that family, and I got no respect anymore for LeVar Ball.
I could not agree with you more, Cap, and I'm so happy to hear you say it. All right, transitioning to another personal preference question. They are unveiling for the first time tonight at the UC. The Bulls are going to be wearing those new Nike City Edition jerseys, which, I want to get your take on if you like the Bulls version of those City Unis. I think they're great. And got me wondering if you could only own, whether it's framed on your wall or you're wearing it out on a beautiful summer Chicago day, one Chicago sports jersey, any of the major 5 teams, any era, home, road, maybe a limited edition, alternate, one Chicago sports jersey, what would it be?
So I just did this on my radio show the other day with Jordan Cornette, and I kind of cut it off when you graduate college. I don't believe that unless you're going to a game, if you're going to the game, you can wear anything you want. But I can't be, I'm 57. I can't be that guy in a bar with a a Golden State jersey on or a Bulls jersey. I just can't do it.
Well, what about an undershirt? I mean, you got an under, like a t-shirt and then a jersey on top of it. It's not like you're flashing your pits around at the bar.
I just can't do it. Once you're out of college, wearing the jersey to the bar is not for me. And wearing a jersey with your own name on it, I think is absolutely jackassian. I don't get buying the number 17 Cubs jersey, and instead of having Bryant on the back, it says Peck. No, you're not number 17 on the Cubs. If you want to wear a Chris Bryant jersey, God bless you. And for me, the only jersey that I would ever wear, and I only would wear it to a game, is a Blackhawks jersey. It's Blackhawks sweater is the coolest in sports. That's the only one I would wear.
Red, white, black?
I've got a red, I've got a white, and I have a black on my wall that was given to me that they put my name on it for, like, shoot the puck. So I have it. I got it framed, and it's in my house. I have a red Eddie Olczyk. So he's one of my best friends. He's also my hero, how he's conducted himself through his cancer battle. So I have worn the red 16 Olczyk, and I to a game, it's A-okay. But I just can't be the guy in the bar wearing a jersey. I'm just not that guy.
And do you approve of the Bulls Nike City editions? Do you like them?
I haven't seen it.
Are you kidding me?
I have not seen what it looks like. So tonight, I got to do my show 5:30 to 6 on NBC Sports Scott or Sports Talk Live from Sox Fest. And then it's jump in the car, hopefully be home by 7 to watch the game. Not only because Bulls-Lakers, I think it's cool even though both teams are bad. I want to watch it, but I also want to see the jersey.
Well, Matt will have to send you a picture of it because they're all over Twitter.
I'm going to tweet right now, Cap.
You got to text me a picture. I'd love to see it.
All right, Cap. So I've got one more question for you here. I was listening to a podcast where Richard Roper, obviously well-famous in the entertainment industry, he's been at the Chicago Sun-Times forever. He was talking about his time covering Michael Jordan. And I thought he brought up one of the greatest stories. And obviously there's hundreds of great stories about MJ and about other athletes in the city during the 90s. But he talked specifically about being in a 16-inch softball league and how there was going to be celebrities and media playing in this. And Michael Jordan was one of those players that was going to play. And he talked about how representatives had called Richard Roper and said, you know, Michael's played baseball before, obviously, but he's never played 16-inch softball, has no idea how to play softball. Will you go and teach him? So long story short, they met at this ballpark 5 hours before the game, and MJ was taking grounders. He was out in the outfield taking fly balls. He was ripping balls down the line. He said that Michael Jordan was not only the fastest person he's ever seen on a softball field, no brainer, but he said he's also never seen somebody hit a softball as far as MJ could and the effortlessness that he could do it at. Do you have any MJ stories that come to mind that are kind of outside of the basketball realm or something that is just kind of people don't really know about?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So go back to the 2008 baseball season. Cubs are having an epic, epic year. They won 97 games. They won 51 at home. And it was an amazing summer. So I get a phone call from a friend of mine. He says, hey, man, I need a big favor. Now, mind you, this is like 1:05 on I think it was a Friday afternoon. It was 1:05 on a Friday. Cubs are playing the Brewers. The Brewers had gotten C.C. Sabathia. The Cubs had gone out and gotten Rich Harden. So everyone was excited. They're battling for the division. He said, I need a big favor. I'm like, what do you need? I need four, and they got to be good, really good seats for the Cub game that first pitch is in 15 minutes. I'm like, yeah, hon, I need a solid gold toilet. It's not in the cards. I'm like, dude, I got to have these. I thought I had them. I got a client that's going to the game with me. I can't disappoint him. We're at a bar across the street. I make a call to the ticket office, and the ticket guy at the Cubs at the time said to me, it's just your lucky day. I've got four seats here that my family is going to use. They're not using them. You can have them. No charge. Gives me the four seats, and they're amazing seats. I call this guy back. I go, meet me by the marquee. Here you go. Here's your tickets. I give him the seats. He calls me that night and says, hey, that was so cool of you. Can't believe how that helped me out. Tomorrow, 10 a.m., be at Glen Flora Country Club up in Waukegan. We're playing golf, six-man match, three against three. And you're playing with Michael Jordan. I'm like, you're kidding. Wow. He said, no, Michael's playing. And so we were both members at Glen Flores, this little course up in Waukegan, nothing fancy, but I was a member there, and Michael was a member there. And Tony Kukoc was a member, and Ron Rivera, and Patrick Manley. There were some really cool guys, Kyle Orton. There were some really cool guys. So I go up there. We get on the tee, and we're going to play. And I said to Michael, we having a game? He's like, yeah, what's your handicap? I give him my number. He gives me his. He's like, all right, you got your shot. So we start playing, and now we get to the sixth green. We're playing 36. Sixth green, first time around. And Michael's got maybe 25 feet, and it's a bending putt uphill, around a bend, and then downhill. And I'm like, Michael, you going to make that? He goes, oh, 100%. I said, $50, you don't make that putt. And I mean, no chance he's making that putt.
No shot. No shot.
And I no shot. And I said, I just went to myself, I want to gamble against Michael Jordan so I can say I did. So he said, okay, we bet he makes the putt. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. We keep playing. Now we get to the 18th hole, the second 18. And Michael doesn't hit the ball a long way. Like, big, strong Michael, he fades every drive into the fairway, but his short game and his putting are ridiculous. So we get on the 18th green, and Michael's got 30, 35 feet straight uphill, but straight. But I'm talking uphill. Like, you got to really smack this thing. And I said, hey, double or nothing on the 50 I owe you. He goes, you don't want to do that. I said, Michael, this isn't a free throw. You're not making that putt. He goes, oh, it's going in. I go, done. You're on. He gets over it. Boom. Right in the back of the cup. And he's dancing on the green, pointing at me. And I said, okay. What's the joke here? How did you do that? He said, dude, I've missed plenty of shots in the final seconds, but when I get up either on the free throw line, I got the ball in my hands, or I stand over a putt, I know in my heart it's going in. I believe it's going in. It may not, but he said, I never, ever take a final shot, take a putt, go to a free throw, and go, God, I hope I make this. Oh, please let me make. Never. He said, 100% certainty it's going in. And he goes, way more often than not, it's going in. And he did it.
Wow. Well, that is fantastic. And I'm sorry you had to take the L, but I guess, you know, we've heard from plenty of people, whether they're athletes or whoever, celebrities, if you make a bet with Michael Jordan in any realm, sports related, you're probably going to lose.
Yeah, no question. But you know what? To say that I gambled against Michael Jordan, and I lost, and he could not have been nicer. He was great to deal with. He puts a speaker in the cup holder of the golf cart. He's got his cigar in his mouth. He's got music cranked. I'm talking like Aretha Franklin and, you know, Tina Turner and James Brown. And we're going down the fairway, and you can hear us three fairways over, and he doesn't care. That's how Michael plays. So he's playing loud music, smoking a cigar, and never stops talking trash. Never. It's awesome.
Doesn't stop talking trash, but couldn't have been nicer. Speaking of couldn't have been nicer, Cap, as always, great to talk to you. You're one of the hardest working people in this business here in Chicago, and you always take the time out for the little guys. We appreciate it. Thanks for the stories. Thanks for the Bulls takes. He's David Kaplan. You can follow him on Twitter at the Cap Man. Listen to him on ESPN 1000 Airwaves, host of the Cap & Co show 9 to noon, and also catch him as the host of Sports Talk Live on NBC Sports Chicago. Cap, appreciate it, man. Always a pleasure.
Hey, guys, it was an honor to be on with you, Matt and Jordan. I loved it. Anytime. I love talking ball, and I love talking with you guys.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. We want to give a special thank you to one of the hardest working people in Chicago sports media. That is David Kaplan of ESPN 1000 and NBC Sports Chicago. He is the man. That was a great interview, Matt. I loved it. He is always great, and he always brings the fire.
Cap. Love you, Cap. Oh, it's always a pleasure chatting with him. And regardless of whether or not you agree with his Chicago sports takes, you cannot deny one of the nicest and one of the hardest working people in Chicago sports. Just love them.
Remember, we're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. That's tomorrow, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media, at Locked On Bulls, on Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Another reminder that if you want to win tickets for you and a guest to join Matt and I at the United Center on February 9th, as the Bulls take on the Timberwolves, Jimmy Butler, Taj Gibson return for the first time since being traded to the United Center. It's going to be a wonderful night. It's going to be awesome. All it takes is 30 seconds. Go to iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review, screenshot that review, and send it to lockedonbulls@gmail.com. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. We might have a surprise for you guys this weekend as well. So stay tuned to your feeds on podcasts and on social media. Stay all up to date at lockedonbulls.com. But for Jordan and Matt, enjoy Lakers and Bulls tonight. Have a great weekend, and we're out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.